Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 52 of the Funkhauser Situation, the go-to premiere pop culture
website.
Doesn't it
feel like 53, though?
I know. Well, Maria says it's 52.
I know, and I trust Maria.
I do, too.
But it just feels like we've done two shows since we've done the 50th episode.
Yeah, I thought so,
too.
So
that would be 53, right?
I would think so. This is either 52 or 53.
She's right.
No one knows. No one knows. We could probably say whatever.
Somebody knows.
No one's counting. We could give any arbitrary number. This is episode 89 of the Funkhead Situation. No one's going to go back and count them.
Can't you go down to the Nick Roush Library and look?
The library, yeah.
Where he
keeps got them all, yeah, on a shelf.
Yeah.
Yeah, so 52 it is, yep. I guess. Today.
Yeah, because number 51 was the Big Butt Club.
Oh, that's right, the Big Butt Club, which Paul Rudd,
yep.
One of the founding members of the Big Butt Club, was on the Oscars the other
night.
And I texted you.
And I said, thank God Oscar Isaac wasn't up there with him, because there's no way that stage is big enough for those two.
I texted you that I hope Paul Rudd doesn't knock over the Oscar podium with his big butt. Did you watch the Oscars?
I did.
And thoughts?
It is. I don't know. It was the same as always. I miss when you have somebody there, though, that can capitalize on a moment that took place to defuse it. That's what the comic's job is. So somebody like Spike Lee goes up, makes a ridiculous speech that he can't even read right. You'd have a Billy Crystal or a Kevin Hart or somebody make an eyewear joke. They would make a political joke. They would diffuse the situation for most people who are going, this is uncomfortable. Whatever Spike Lee's doing needs to be made fun of. And that's when you get a guy who can puncture the pompous balloon.
I agree. I love that your idea of puncturing the pompous balloon includes an eyewear joke about Spike Lee.
Yeah, I would have. Hey, Spike, Lens Crafters, 24 hours.
I will say this: Spike came off very likable in that ceremony. Like he looked like he made the great Nick. He made a great Samuel L. made the great Nick's joke just to Spike.
Yeah,
essentially,
I want to like Spike Lee.
I am with you.
Because there are moments like I watched and I'd seen it before, but I'd rewatch the. Reggie Miller versus the Knicks thing, and Spike Lee played a big part of that documentary on 30 for 30.
Right.
Because he antagonized Reggie Miller from the sideline, which gave Reggie Miller the juice to go and whip the Knicks. They were down, what, 12 or something with a minute left, and Reggie started hitting threes like crazy, and he would go talk to Spike. And Spike was so likable in those moments. He goes, I'm not playing. I'm just sitting here. I didn't say anything, which we all know he did.
I'm like you. I want to like him.
He's a great filmmaker.
He's a great filmmaker.
He can craft a good movie, but he's got to stick his foot in his mouth and be so political that it's like, okay, you've alienated me again. Why do you do that?
I agree. In the past, he's made comments that just I was like, oh, man, why you got to say that?
Yeah.
You know, and I think that's always taken me out of his camp.
And it's fine. If that's who he is, that's okay. But he's in a medium where he's trying to gain access to a white audience.
Right.
So you're going to have to choose one or the other. And he's trying to live this duality, which it just doesn't work.
And you're right. Spike has always lived in this world where he wanted one of his feet in art film, art, you know, message film world, and the other in, I want to make a lot of money at the box office.
Right.
And as a result, it's always kind of gotten muddled with him.
Yeah, because you just irritate both sides, I think, in some ways.
I agree with what you're saying about the Oscar host, though, to get back to that, because I felt like there's a train getting ready to come through the wall here.
I've never heard that. I've been here 20 years.
Seems very close.
I've never heard that. You know what? I wouldn't doubt that's not Mike Kerber's new phone he's got.
He moved up to the iPhone.
He got the iPhone, and I bet that's his alert.
Yeah, I'm so glad now we can all be on a text chain that doesn't involve Mike's square with a question mark for an emoji.
Yeah, he told me. So Mike Kerber, for the Hey Kentucky fans, so he's the producer, and when we have messaging going back and forth, he's the one guy that didn't have the iPhone.
He's an Android guy.
He created that green look when we all want to be blue.
Right. Yeah, we're going to live in a blue world. Plus, if one person on a text chain is on an Android, it screws every, I mean, he swears it doesn't, but I know it does. There are times when, like, I don't get messages. I get messages 8 hours later, mm-hmm. out of order, everything of that, because yeah. Android screws everything
up. Well, that was true. Now, he was doing that because he used to text me script stuff for the show, mm-hmm. and I would have to piece it back together.
Yeah.
Because it would be out of sequence.
Yeah, that's
and
what I
have
had
to
do.
Try to figure it out. Okay, what is this again?
Yeah, but he's moved on, and we're all very proud of Mike. But I agree what you say with the, about the host thing. To me, who's hosting it has always been a big part of how entertaining the show is.
Absolutely.
You know, like, I mean, if it's somebody I really like, I get excited about right. that person. Like, when Letterman hosted, I remember being really excited.
And I thought he did a great job, by the way.
Right.
Everybody panned it, but it's because they're a bunch of, you know, wusses.
Right. Chris Rock, you know, was a good host. Kimmel was always a good host.
Yeah.
Seth MacFarlane, I thought, was a good host.
Yeah, forget about that.
He did a great job. He kept it pretty classy, although he kind of gave his, you know, he did his Seth MacFarlane you know, shtick, but I thought he was fine, you know?
To give you the moment that requires somebody, is like nobody would remember Jack Palance doing push-ups.
Right.
If Billy Crystal didn't clean that mess
up. Yeah,
we get
it. You love Billy Crystal.
Yeah. But afterwards, after he did that, then Billy Crystal continued to make jokes throughout the night.
He wrote it.
Right.
Yeah,
so, you know, he would say, Jack is now at the In-N-Out Burger doing push-ups in the parking lot.
That's
you know,
right,
whatever.
And I remember that.
He was doing it,
right.
And he kept it, so he tied it in thematically. That's what a good comic does.
Yeah, it was. You're right. I kind of hated that it was a success without a host because it made them realize
it works.
Well,
what do you mean, how was it a success?
Well, the headlines all the next day were the Oscars didn't have a host, and that was fine. So it was like, I don't...
Yeah, but it wasn't great.
But you should still have one if you can get one. It doesn't mean we don't need to
Absolutely.
Have one anymore.
I mean, has Polar and...
They've done the... Polar and Faye have done
the Emmys.
Emmys.
They've not done
and
the
Oscars. And they killed it, by the way.
Oh, I know.
And they did as...
Why not have them do it?
They did in this Oscar telecast... The closest you get to a monologue, mm-hmm. and I thought they were. I would have happily watched
the three of them
and Maya Rudolph for the whole show.
Yeah, me too.
I don't see why they just didn't do that. They could have done that.
Hey, Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper, how about that, huh?
Steamy, right?
Now, let me ask you this: was your wife upset with that?
My wife was asleep by 8:45.
Okay, because I've noticed this trend, and I've talked to some other guys.
She does not care about Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper.
Yeah, but I think they project or something. Women project.
Yeah,
I don't know. It depends on how they feel about themselves at the moment. But when they see Lady Gaga,
I always love. By the way, I always love when you say something, and I can gauge by the Maria meter as to what that is. And when you said that, I looked over at Maria, and Maria just was like, okay, you know.
Well, you don't understand what I'm saying, Maria? So
you can't get her on your side now.
Oh, sure
I already saw the face.
Oh, but give me a moment.
Okay.
Watch me work. What I mean is, because he brought his date, I don't know if is that his wife or girlfriend? Okay, so he's got his girlfriend there, and then them two are up there about to make out, looking at one another. Well, I start getting yelled at by this nonsense. What? I don't even know what's going on.
Why, did you make a comment or something?
No, I'm just watching the Oscars, and then I hear, oh, look at those two. Yeah.
That homewrecker.
That homewrecker.
Well, it is true.
I talked to some buddies, and they said, oh, yeah, my wife is all mad about that, too.
Well, apparently, like, there's a source of contention in that in the past few weeks when all of this – shipping. Have you heard this phrase? Shipping. It's when people want to project a relationship onto people. Like when people wanted Mulder and Scully to get together or Ross and Rachel or whatever. They call it shipping. It's you're projecting a relationship. Mm-hmm. Somebody. And apparently Lady Gaga did break it off with her fiance of 2 years in like the last month.
Well, and she was there with her sister?
I don't know.
Just in case Brad didn't bring... His,
okay. You brought your
brother.
Oh, we're bringing significant others. Oh, my bad. I should have brought my date.
But she denied all that on Kimmel.
I saw that. And she did a nice job of sort of diffusing that. She called social media the world's toilet or something like that.
She's right about that.
That's true. I like Lady Gaga.
I'm okay. Like you and I said, if we're in Vegas,
yeah.
you know, as part of our gay trip we're going to take.
We're
going to swim and go watch Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
But we would. We would go watch both shows. Mm-hmm. Isn't she supposed to do two?
She's doing one of, like her, of her pop music and one of like American Standards, which Tony Bennett is a part of.
Yeah, see, I'm there all day with an old
fashioned. I would go just see Tony Bennett.
Can you smoke in there? You should.
I think you should try.
You should be able to smoke.
You can do it everywhere else in Vegas. You know, I don't know why you couldn't in a Lady Gaga.
I'll tell you one place you can smoke.
Where?
Jake's Cigar Bar.
Is that so? Tell me more.
Well, as we all know, the key to happiness is having that ship, that shipping, mm-hmm. between a well-blended cigar and a glass of Kentucky bourbon. For nearly a decade, Jake's Cigar Bar in Brennan Crossing has welcomed folks from across Kentucky to find the perfect match of bourbon and cigars.
This is the Lady Gaga and Bradley Cooper bourbon and cigars.
Analogy.
Yeah,
right. With over 200 different bourbons and 300 different cigars, Jake's is the only establishment that provides the variety Kentucky deserves. And as if we couldn't promise you more, they did. Because coming soon, very close, we think April, Jake's will be moving across the street to a much larger space, which means more unique product selection from the Commonwealth and beyond. Like them on Facebook and Instagram to learn more about the future of Jake's.
You know, they say, if you're a cigar, get you a bourbon that looks at you like Bradley Cooper looks at Lady Gaga.
Somebody sent a meme out yesterday. I laughed about it. And it had those two looking at each other on the stage from the Oscars. But underneath it said, Jim Acosta, Jim Acosta.
Oh, that's great.
That's the way he looks at himself.
I saw two today. They're re-releasing A Star Is Born in theaters with 12 extra minutes of unseen footage.
Yeah.
Is that really, are you really, I mean,
Did you see it?
You know what, I sound ridiculous. There are going to be people who totally go see that.
Did you go see it?
No.
I didn't either.
Don't really care.
I don't want to see it. I mean, I kind of know what it is. Is it good, Maria?
It's been made twice.
Is it better than La La Land?
They're both really good. I don't know. It's really good.
Better than La, everything's better than La La Land.
I will knock you out. I will come across this table. Because I liked La La Land.
I know you did. I did not.
Ryan Gosling's awesome in La La Land. And funny.
I don't think it's that funny. My problem with La La Land is that it doesn't have enough comic relief in it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Emma Stone's a good actress.
Let me ask you this. Is Lady Gaga, this dawned on me at the Oscars, Lady Gaga is having a very Barbara Streisand-esque career. She started as a popular musician, and then she branched into movies, and then she won an Oscar, and then she became serious actress, and then she goes on and introduces Black Klansman when Star Is Born is the movie she made, which is very interesting.
Yeah, what did they do?
I don't know what was up with that.
Yeah, what was it about?
I don't know.
Because they were from Brooklyn, her and Spike. That was weird. Yeah, why not have her do it?
Yeah.
That's perfect. That'd been kismet.
I agree.
You know who Lady Gaga has surpassed, in my opinion, though? Because she wanted everything Lady Gaga has.
Demi Lovato.
Not Demi Lovato! Oh. How dare you besmirch a young woman struggling, trying to make her way out of addiction. No, Madonna, you moron.
Oh, Madonna wants to be.
Madonna
she always wanted,
wanted to be.
What Lady Gaga
yes,
has.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, that's
you know,
true. She made all those movies that she adopted
right,
a British
were
accent.
Horrible,
and,
yeah.
Yeah. She didn't make did she make any good movies?
No.
The closest she came to a good movie was Evita. And
right.
that was not
no,
huge,
that
right?
Good. Yeah.
That, you're exactly right though. Madonna's probably like, that should have been me back in 1995.
I thought about that while watching the show.
Yeah, that's a good call.
You know, because Madonna was a little offended, I think, early on by Lady Gaga's adoration of Madonna and like, well, you can't surpass me, but I think she might have as far as record sales.
There were pictures of them together at the after party. Did you see those pictures?
Her and Madonna at the Oscar party?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so they're okay, I guess, in case you're worried.
Wow, she's just wanting to get close to it.
Did you like the musical other musical performances on there?
It
was very clear
Buster,
that it was very
Buster
clear
Scruggs
you weren't
thing.
Supposed to care about any of them except Lady Gaga.
Right.
But why did they not let Tim Blake Nelson sing that song?
I don't
song?
Know. Why
I don't understand why they
you?
Turned it into like some sort of Roy Rogers and Dale Evans number when it could have just been.
Well, they wrote it though, didn't they? Those two
wrote the song. And I get that, but you should always.
Well, it
wasn't
they went to a karaoke bar and found a couple and stuck them up there? They wrote the song, man.
There was, can I tell you a funny karaoke story from Shinaway Pub? You know Shinaway Pub? Yeah, Shinaway was karaoke in Lexington before karaoke was cool. And there used to be this couple there, and if they're listening now, I apologize. They will know who they are. Mm-hmm. But there was always this couple at Shinaway, and every time we were there, they always – remember the song? I think it was Let's Make Love. It was like a – was it Tim McGraw and Faith Hill?
Is that so.
Who it was? Okay. And they would always, at some point in the night, the karaoke announcer would say, next up to the stage, David, you know, whatever. And he would come up, and he would start singing. No, she would come up, and she would start singing. And then, without fail, he would get up from the bar and walk toward the stage and gaze at her. And she would gaze at him. And then they would, like, lock eyes, and she would sing directly to him. And then at the end, he would come up, and they would embrace and kiss. And then they would leave.
It was just too strong.
Yeah. I thought I was
too much.
I cannot watch this crazy psycho drama play out before these two go home and whatever.
Right.
You know, but every Saturday night, those two are out there, and they're always playing out this scene that clearly got them both all hot and bothered.
That was the ignition switch.
That's all it took.
Oh, please don't. He's
can't do this at home. We got to do it in front of everybody.
Well, and maybe he's angry with her, too. Maybe he doesn't want to, but it's just a siren call that just pulls him in. It's like, you got me again. You know, I got it foiled.
Every time.
You know, speaking of establishments, earlier this week, I, for the first time in my life, went to the Chevy Chase Inn. The little Chevy Chase Inn. Never been in there before.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an older establishment.
Oh, it is, yes.
And I went with my buddy Devin, who's a fan of this podcast, and it was a mid-afternoon kind of thing, and it was right next to where my live shot was going to be for the 4 o'clock show. So we walk in there, and we thought, hey, let's have a drink. First of all, the door has a pulley attached to it, which raises a rubber chicken. It has a sign attached to it. So this chicken goes up and down. Nobody's in there except two guys from another century. And I'm not even talking to the 20th. It was more like Civil War reenactors were in there. And the bartender comes over and looks at us and says, yeah. And we are, you know, used to the more finer establishments where, you know, at Jake's, you order an old-fashioned. They put on a show for it.
Right, right.
So Devin, I was afraid to say it, but Devin took the bait and went, can you make an old-fashioned? And he looked at us and said, shit. And then we didn't order that. We just ordered something straight
up. The writing was on the wall, is what you're saying.
And he just slid them over to us and went back reading his newspaper, disgusted.
It was like a saloon.
You two punks.
He slid it all the way down the bar, dude, like a Western movie.
Yeah.
Now, you saw a movie that you
loved
talked to me about. You loved it. And before you tell us what it is, this movie, the commercial, the ad blitz has been exhausting. Mm-hmm. I thought for sure that meant it wasn't any good. You saw it and loved it. What was it?
Fighting with My Family.
Right.
So I saw the trailer, and I thought, that looks kind of fun. You know, maybe I'll wait and go get it, or I'll watch it at home when it's available on video. Mm-hmm. It looked okay. But again, you never can tell with the trailer, so it's probably going to stink. You know, that's probably all the best jokes that you're seeing right there.
That's exactly what I assume.
So that's it. So I sat down. I soon learned that Stephen Merchant directed this, who is Ricky Gervais's buddy, big, tall, lanky guy.
Co-writer of the great original British Office.
Right.
Yeah.
Correct.
Which is one of the great all-time shows, yeah.
Nick Frost is awesome in this. He plays the father.
Shaun of the Dead.
Hot Fuzz.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the two British kids are familiar to me. But I can't place them. I don't know where I've seen them before. But and then Cersei from Game of Thrones is the mother.
She's in that.
She's
too?
The mother. Yeah, she's good. And then of course you got Vince Vaughn, The Rock, and a lot.
Now
of
is them. This the we've talked about this before? Is this the Vince Vaughn we like, or because Vince Vaughn when he plays Motormouth Vince Vaughn is the best?
No, it's more the monotone, angry Vince Vaughn.
Okay.
You know, but he's still, the role's written for him to do that. So right. He's proficient. He's doing exactly
deadpan.
What he should do. Yeah, it's very deadpan. He's, you know, the old coach that, you know,
right.
You do it my way. Then you find out there's a story behind all the reason he's doing it the way he's doing it, you know.
Yeah.
But it's so much heart in this thing. I mean, you like, wow, this is
and the
good.
Rock's
it's
in it too, right?
Me in. And I think it's brilliant that Stephen Merchant directed it, because I can guarantee Stephen Merchant doesn't know anything about the WWE.
And this is a true story.
Yes, and yeah. It's a true story, right, about a girl who rose through the ranks, auditioned, made it, went through that next minor league system, essentially, for the WWE until she became a champion. And it's her story and how she's attached to the family and how hard and difficult it is. And her brother was the one who was more gifted, and he doesn't get chosen. And all that entails. So it's a lot of complicated relationships stuff going on, but there's so much comedic ingenuity inside of that.
So it's a real comedy.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. But it's Stephen Merchant, again, seeing it through his filter, because it's an alien world to him. He didn't treat it like a fanboy would have. If somebody was just a huge WWE fan, I think it would have been a different movie.
Right.
But he's looking at it like this is some alien world, and now she's got to try to be a part of it. And it's really well done.
So Spoon feeds you a little bit of what that culture
is. And they didn't take the obvious, you know, because she's with these three super hot ladies that are auditioning for the same spot. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take those basic stereotypes and play them out the way you normally would see. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of flip things around. It's really good. It's one of those times you watch a film and you go, I got my money's worth.
That's good.
I was entertained from beginning to end. I'm glad I came to the movies. You don't walk out going, mm-hmm, who the hell greenlit that?
Or that was fine. Or,
No, you're like, oh, man, that was good. And you're thinking about it. You're thinking about the movie still in the parking lot on the way home. You're still thinking about it.
Now, did they get into,
so well made.
Did they get into the postscript of this? Because McGuffey, our friend Kevin McGuffey, who is a wrestling fan aficionado,
right,
he says that her career sort of spiraled into obscurity after some sexy photos leaked.
Oh.
Is that part of the movie, or do
no,
they leave
no.
it with her on top?
They
probably.
Leave it with her achieving the belt, and
right,
then that's it. Yeah.
Then no title card at the end.
No. No, Gervais would have done that.
Yeah, Gervais would have done that.
No, Stephen Merchant did not.
What has happened to Gervais?
I don't know.
And the reason I ask this is I had this conversation with somebody this week. He, at one point, I thought there's no – after he was David Brent in the UK office, which, mm-hmm, if you haven't watched that, it's a quick watch. It is brilliant. Mm-hmm. And Gervais is Peter Sellers funny in it. I mean, like, he's, mm-hmm, great in that. Then he kind of became this sort of smug, unlikable dude since then. And I have I don't like that. I don't know that I'm the Gervais fan I used to be. He has a new show coming on Netflix, and I watched the trailer, and I was not really that interested in it.
Yeah. Yeah, he's following that Bill Maher pathway.
Yes, that's a good call.
Where you can't, even if you agree with him,
you can't like him. He's just inherently sort of unlikable.
Yeah.
I saw the Lego Movie 2.
Was that good? I really loved the first one.
I did too. I thought the first one is
that's my first
is meta and funny and smart and clever, and it's got great funny twists. It's got sight gags. It's got quick cuts. It's just,
I didn't know when I watched the Lego Movie, the first one, I didn't know who Chris Pratt was. I had to look it up. Like, who's the guy that plays the lead in this?
He was famous by then.
Well, I didn't watch Parks and Rec.
Oh, okay.
And that's all he was on.
Yeah, he was so good in Parks and Rec.
I know, but I didn't know who he was.
Yeah.
And then Guardians comes out, and then Jurassic Park. And the next thing, we've got the new Harrison Ford.
The
two, like, holy cow.
The two guys who made Lego Movie and this one won an Oscar the other night for Spider-Verse.
Which was good.
Which was really good.
Yeah.
Lord
the Funkhauser recommends that.
Chris, is it Phil Miller and Christopher Lord,
yep,
who also did,
yep,
Last Man on Earth,
yep,
and they did Spider-Verse,
yep,
and they did this. They're the new, and this is going to date me, they're the new Lowell Gans and
Babalu Mandel.
Yeah, I remember that from Parenthood.
Yeah,
that team. But no, it was funny. I mean, it's meta, just like the last.
Those
one.
Those two that you just mentioned, they're big Ron Howard collaborators.
They
too.
Are.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
So, am I correct in thinking that the new auteur of Hollywood is Peter Farrelly, Peter Farrelly, who is of Dumb and Dumber?
I think you could think that, but I think that the backlash online for Green Book has not been that flattering to it. Yeah, I think that everybody, there's always been some hate out there for Green Book.
Why? Don't give me this white savior nonsense.
Oh, I'm going to tell you. Well, it's because apparently the character Mahershala Ali plays.
Oh, I'd put in any movie. That, I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
He's
2 for 2 on Oscars, by the way.
I love that guy.
This guy needs to stop slumming in Alita Battle Angel and start treating himself like a real guy. Apparently that character he plays, family has disavowed the movie. Apparently there are some.
Why?
There's some
I haven't seen the movie. I want to see it. It looks great.
Yeah, I agree. And I think
it won the Oscar.
I think that the movie is fine. And I think that you wouldn't have heard all this unless it won Best Picture. Mm-hmm. And I think the problem with it was that it won Best Picture, which I think was everybody's sort of problem. Also, there were reports that Peter Farrelly joked around that whenever things got tense on set, he would pull his private parts out for everybody.
Right.
Which is probably not the thing to go.
He did that on The Green Book? Yeah. I mean, I know he did it like Shallow Hal and all those other things, didn't they?
You knew he pulled his private parts out?
I think I read that story. Yeah, like on back, that was just them goofing off, you know, just what they would do.
Yeah, well, you can't do that these days.
Really?
It's a different
world. What do you think of this?
But back to Lego. The Lego movie's good. Our girl Tiffany Haddish is in it. She plays the possibly villain.
Yeah, I want to see it.
A great twist.
It.
I'm not going to ruin it, but there's some good. There's some really great jokes in it. It's well worth your time.
Okay. Well, I want to see that.
Yeah.
But again, this guy's making. Again, this is a clown who made stupid. And what was the thing with Matt Damon? They made that one.
Oh, the
and Greg Kinnear, where they were Siamese twins.
Yeah, I mean, let's look. I mean, you're right. The Farrellys made a ton of Farrellys.
What about Mary? Didn't they do What About Mary?
Oh, yeah. I figured that was a given.
But I'm just saying, now he's an Oscar winner.
I know. It's weird that you went to Shallow Hal first.
I love Shallow Hal.
Yeah, I mean, Shallow Hal's not bad, but I always think something about Mary. Okay, so their filmography together is Dumb and Dumber. Kingpin,
yeah.
Which is fantastic.
Right, love Kingpin.
Bill Murray's hair in that should have won an Oscar.
It should have.
Yeah.
That one shot from where the pins are and him sitting there with the ESPN logo behind him and that comb over waving.
So
like,
great.
Look at these athletes. Yeah.
And let's be honest, that was probably the last time any of us will ever have seen Randy Quaid.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah.
I like Randy Quaid.
Something About Mary. Outside Providence, that was with Alec Baldwin. It was a coming-of-age movie. Me, Myself, and Irene.
I like that, too.
Yeah, with Jim Carrey. Say It Isn't So. What is Say It Isn't So?
Yeah, what is that? It sounds familiar.
Heather Graham and Chris Klein. We can be forgiven for not doing that one. Osmosis Jones. I saw that. That was an animated movie. That's Chris Rock.
Yeah, that was an animated.
Shallow Hal. Stuck on You. Fever Pitch with Fallon and Drew Barrymore. The Red Sox movie.
Yeah.
The Ringer, that was a little bit tone deaf. That was
you know what? It wasn't that bad, though.
Well, yeah.
I liked it. Well, Johnny Knoxville, right?
Yeah.
He enters the Special Olympics.
Yeah.
Now, of course, but they do that movie, though, with such tenderness and heart. People just get offended by the whole premise, and they don't even want to watch it.
I'm going to save you. Let's move on.
You don't need to be saved.
I'm gonna help you out here. The Heartbreak Kid, Ben Stiller. Did you see that one?
No.
That
offends me. Whatever that is. I'm offended by that.
Hall Pass. That's a fun movie.
That's okay.
The Three Stooges movie, which is
awful.
Dumb and Dumber 2, which was terrible.
Awful.
And then Green Book.
That's what I'm saying. Look at this guy's canon. It's crazy.
I know. It's really weird. It's like he actually got mailed the wrong script.
But
he was like,
I'm taking it.
I'm doing this.
But you know what? It proves our theory. That comedy is 10 times more difficult than drama. Because some of those were hits and misses. Some of them were brilliant, we thought. But he could just toss off an Oscar winner anytime he wanted. You know what I mean?
I saw somebody say
now,
on
let's
Twitter.
Say an Oscar. Let's see a guy who hasn't done comedy try to go do it. Well, Spielberg, for instance.
Oh,
which
yeah.
Actually, I love 1941. I thought it was good. But he had no success and got out of there. He couldn't do the comedy genre anymore.
It's harder to do. We've talked about this.
It is.
It is harder to do comedy than drama.
It's infuriating to me that they never reward an actor or an actress who does a great job in a comedy.
Yeah.
Well,
look at this. We've got Marissa, the notable comedy winners. Marissa Tomei won for My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
My favorite movie character of all time is Kevin Kline's in A Fish Called Wanda.
Right.
That is my
He did win.
He is my favorite character in any comedy.
Peter Sellers should have won.
Did he never win an Oscar?
Not for the Pink Panther.
He won for being there.
Being there, yeah.
Which
was
is not
Forrest
that
Gump,
yeah.
essentially. Right. That was an early Forrest Gump. Forgot who I was going to say. Oh, Dudley Moore should have won for Arthur. Instead, they give it to John Gielgud, which was great.
Was Dudley Moore nominated for Arthur?
Should have been.
That might have been nominated for Best Picture that year.
It may have been. But he should have
won.
You're
right, though.
He
not a lot
won.
Of comedies. Oh. I saw somebody on Twitter that
you know
say,
who, and again, I'll say it again. Eddie Murphy should have been nominated for Nutty Professor.
Okay.
You think about the technical difficulty of that scene at the table and what he's pulling off. It's incredible.
Yeah, no, I agree.
Should have been nominated.
I agree.
At least nominated. Maybe not one, but he could have nominated.
It's easier to make people cry than make people laugh because there are certain
right.
There are certain truths that are always sad to everybody universally. Mm-hmm. Death, sadness, grief, that kind of thing.
Taxation.
Yeah. It is much harder to create a comedy that's successful among many, many people because that is a much harder funny bones are a lot harder to hit everybody's at one time.
Right.
Whereas dramas are very easy to do that.
All right. Hey, one more topic before we move on to hot goss.
Okay.
Did you watch The Masked Singer?
I did not yet.
I did.
I'm watching it tonight. Is it over? Is it over
it's
already?
It's over. Now it's over.
I know where. I mean, I know that we are right on everybody. Let me ask you this. Are there any surprises?
No.
Okay. So it's Gladys Knight. It's Donny Osmond and it's T-Pain.
Correct.
All right. Well, that's very exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no – they have botched this entire show.
Yeah, no.
Haven't they?
Again, I enjoyed it when they had J.B. Smoove and they had
– Right, but let's talk about this as a the show as a mechanism was handled terribly. We should not have known who everybody was in the,
but,
in the third week.
No, I don't agree with that because I think – well, I mean, there's – how could you not? I mean, when you hear some, especially if that's what they're known to do,
they gave
you're
away,
going to recognize Gladys Knight right away.
I think they gave too many clues.
Well, you know, maybe not
they
two clues.
They should have been a little more withholding on the clues.
Right, okay. That's fine. But again, that's not what gives it away to me. It's their voice. I knew Donny Osmond. Listen, when he started his Soldier of Love's campaign, I saw him at the Maysville Warehouse.
Oh, at the Expo?
Tobacco Barn. I saw
the
him.
The Ripley Expo?
Yes,
yeah.
I was there for that. And when
I was there for that, too.
Were you? Well,
yeah.
We were there.
I was very young. You
so
were
was
probably
I.
an adult.
I was not.
But here's the thing.
Couldn't
if
buy
they
liquor.
If they hadn't given all those clues, I might have still thought, well, maybe this is Gladys. Maybe it's Chaka Khan, Patti LaBelle. I knew the wheelhouse. Mm-hmm. It would have been exciting to find out who it was. As it is, we've known this as Gladys Knight since the second week.
You kind of have some doubt. Like Ken, he still was guessing Anita Baker.
Well, I think they've been told to throw
maybe
people who are wrong out there.
Well,
they all know that it's Gladys Knight.
Most of them did, yes.
Yeah.
Well, everybody voted for Gladys Knight except for Ken.
I mean, the biggest mystery reveal was Rumor Willis, and
that was the one I didn't know.
And I mean,
but
even,
see,
with
I,
the clues,
even with
I
the
didn't
clues,
get
though,
that.
I still didn't know T-Pain. It's just everybody told me it was T-Pain,
yeah.
So I didn't know.
I would never have probably guessed T-Pain, which is interesting because if it had ended up being T-Pain and I didn't know it, I'd have been like, "Oh wow, I never knew T-Pain could sing. That's very interesting."
He
did
can
very
sing,
nicely.
Man.
He's
great.
But instead, they have beat it over the head so much that now it's just like, "Well, that's T-Pain. You might as well you just T-Pain in a costume."
Well, I'm sure they're going to have a second season.
What do you change if there's a second season? Like, how do you do it differently?
New judges.
Yeah.
Get rid of those clowns.
Higher profile judges are going to bring in higher profile.
Well, I don't know if
that'd
be higher profile, but somebody that bring back J.B. Smoove and people that make me laugh. Not guess with just stupidity.
Nicole Scherzinger.
Well, I don't mind her so much.
Well, yeah. You've got to have entertaining judges, and they did not have entertaining judges.
I mean, you can have
Ken
your
Ken Jeong
one,
is not Johnny Comedy,
not. No.
But he's the most entertaining they had.
Yeah, and he irritates me, though, man.
Yeah.
I get irritated with Ken.
Wait, let me ask you something about Ken Jeong. Fox has the Emmys this year.
Uh-huh.
And we had this conversation back here in the bullpen the other day. You know how networks always pull somebody from one of their shows, right, to do it? Who does Fox have to host except Ken Jeong? Mm. I'm being serious. Like, if you're pulling somebody who's, quote-unquote, a funny person who carries a show, I mean, who does Fox get to do that?
I'll tell you who I'd get. He wouldn't do it. I'd get Tim Allen.
Somebody said Tim Allen, and everybody in that room booed when they said it.
Yeah. Well,
I don't think they would ever do it.
I don't think he would do it. But he'd be the one guy I'd laugh at.
Yeah.
As he just tore into him.
Is it? But no, he's too nice a guy.
I know he is, but yeah. I would love it if he did.
But I don't know who they get. I don't know who Fox pulls from their stable to host the Emmys. Mm. So welcome to the Emmys featuring Ken Jeong. Before we go, let's do some hot goss. Ready?
Okay.
All right. Hot goss item. The TV show Bones, your favorite show. You've talked about this a million times.
Never
David Boreanaz and Emily Deschanel. The Fox has been ordered a $179 million payout because they cheated actors and executive producers out of $100 million in gross revenue.
Good.
Thoughts on that?
How do you cheat them?
I think they were just keeping the money for themselves and
was
not
there,
doling
I mean,
it out.
Was there a contractual there were, agreement on were, rating points or something?
Yeah, I believe so. There was something about extra, maybe syndication or something like that, and they were getting paid, and they were just pocketing the money. Item, Beverly Hills 90210 making a comeback.
Why?
And here's the deal. It's going to be a show within a show where it's all about the actors trying to mount a 90210 reboot and the inner workings of the show being somewhat like a soap opera themselves. This sounds terrible.
I never watched the first, the second, or this third incarnation.
You didn't watch the original 90210?
Nope.
Really?
Nope.
I thought everybody did.
Me and my wife got in an argument about that the other night.
As well, you should have. You should have watched.
Well, I didn't watch it, but I said the good. I thought the most attractive girl on there was that Gabriella. She said what?
Oh, she.
She goes. She was old. I go. What? I don't care. I'm just saying. I thought she was better looking than Shannon Doherty and who's Tori Spelling.
Jenny Garth. Jenny Garth. She was.
Nah,
at the time,
I thought that Gabby girl was.
She, you know, she's right, though. She put Andrea. She was like
Andrea,
the yearbook editor,
right?
Is that
and
right,
she
is,
you know what she does now? She's the president of the Screen Actors Guild.
That's correct. I heard that.
How
yeah.
about that?
Good
successful.
So she probably won't be interested in this reboot is what you're saying.
Yeah.
An item, final thing, you're going to be interested in this. Rami Malek, Oscar winner.
Yeah. What's he doing?
Might be the next Bond villain.
Oh, he'd be a good one.
I thought so, too. Because he's got sort of a sinister look to him.
Yeah, he's got something weird going on.
He's not. Yeah, he's got kind of a darkness to him. I think I can't. You know, I never watched Mr. Robot. Did you watch Mr. Robot?
No.
People I know liked it, but I don't really have a whole lot of background with that guy. But I mean, why not?
Yeah, no, I think he'd be good.
He would be young for a Bond villain, although they've had young female Bond villains. Sophie Marceau was a
Sophie Marceau.
Yeah.
She was in Braveheart, too, you know.
Oh, I know. That's how I knew her when she was in Bond. Also, her henchman in that, if you remember, was the guy from Trainspotting.
Oh, yeah.
Who couldn't feel pain.
And his eye bled a lot.
No. Was that it?
I think so. He'd bleed out of his eye,
I think
he?
You're right. Yeah, I think you might be right about
Weird.
That. Yeah.
But well, he would cry blood.
I thought that was the guy in Casino Royale.
I don't know.
Maybe. I know.
Somebody was crying
blood. Our
friend
Fake Barney's going to correct me on that one, I know. But I think you'll be fine.
Yeah, I'm on board again, but I'm on a hair trigger with Daniel Craig.
But here's the thing is, I'm assuming that they're already filming a new Bond now with Daniel Craig.
No, I think there was a delay.
I don't think this will be talking about the Daniel Craig Bond, because I think that script's done.
I think it's been pushed back and there was a delay for some reason. I'm just telling you I'm on a hair trigger, because if he complains about having to be James Bond again.
But you know who hates that it's been delayed? Daniel Craig, because he's ready to get out of there.
Yeah.
He's done. I don't know what he thinks he's going to do. He's just going to do other movies.
I think Idris Elba hates it more because it makes him older as he waits his turn. I think it's his.
He has to be the natural
I would give
successor.
It to him in a heartbeat.
Well, we'll see, as always. And thank you guys for joining us. This has been episode 52 or 53.
We think
however
52.
You count it.
Maria
says 52.
Maria says 52.
I don't know.
I got to get this phone
go
call.
Count. All right, Lee's got to take a phone call. Thanks for joining us. Come back next week. This has been the Funk Has a Situation. Good day.